I'm Mark Bayshore. Thanksgiving will be upon us sooner than we think, and you may be using some old family pieces of Pyrex to cook the old green beans. It turns out some of those pieces of Pyrex may be collectibles. 2015 marks the 100th anniversary of Pyrex, and this weekend in Dearborn, one of the oldest glass shows in the U.S., we'll be celebrating Pyrex. Current State's Jamie Paisley joins me after taking a tour with the president of the group putting on the show. Hi, Jamie.
Hey there. Jonathan Furman is the devoted president of the Michigan Depression Glass Society. And in fact, Jonathan told me that one of the reasons he chose his particular house outside of Detroit was the space that's above the kitchen, where it was perfect to display his Pyrex above the shelves. And in addition to the very colorful glass displays throughout the house, there is a small set of rather frankly odd-looking light green glassware featured as well, which might have you reaching for your handy Geiger counter.
Vaseline glass, and it's glassware that has a green color. Not all green glass is Vaseline, and it's actually really tricky to tell what is and what isn't. To a really, really trained collector, you'll know, but the easiest way is to take out a black light, which you can get at online or actually at pet supply stores, and Vaseline glass actually has uranium in it, which is what gave it the green color. And when you put it under a black light, it's got a magnificent glow to it, and is actually very, very prized and valued by collectors.
I thought Halloween was last week.
It was, but there's collectors who display it year-round. We actually have a member of our club who has cabinets of Vaseline glass in her house, and she has them lit with both traditional lighting as well as black lights, and she can flip a switch and toggle between the two and have kind of a regular soft shade of green during with regular light and then go into this eerie glowing green with the black light.
And it's still safe, though.
Yes, it's completely safe. I know it does sound a little scary because it's got a bit of uranium in it, but it's very, very low and is actually depleted uranium and is completely safe to eat off of, use, and display.
And most of the stuff is fairly translucent, even the color ones, but that one is very opaque, exceedingly opaque.
Yeah. So really with any glass, the color is really just achieved by what chemicals you put inside of it. So whether you have gold, which might create more of a cranberry color, or silver, which will create a blue. So the color of a glass is really determined by what chemicals were put inside of it to give it that color. And then something like this, not only would you have the chemicals to give it color, but there would be a process of dipping it in acid to give it a more satinized finish.
How do you define Depression-era glass?
Depression glass is really glassware that was made during that era of the 20s, 30s, and 40s, but lower-end glassware. So this would have been stuff that was really given away for free and often is premium items. So actually what happened with around the time of the Depression is that was right around the time in glassware manufacturing that they were really coming up with ways to produce at higher quantities. So innovative manufacturing techniques that would allow them to really mass produce things. But unfortunately, the game plan was to then sell everything at kind of five and dime shops. But when the Great Depression hit, people didn't even have 5 or 10 cents to spend on frivolous things like glass. So what these manufacturers did is teamed up with various businesses and really kind of created premium items and for brand loyalty. So you might go to a movie theater one week and get a cup and saucer in a pattern. You might go the next week and get a plate and then the matching platter. And same thing with a gas station. It would have been in laundry detergent, oatmeal, anything like that. And by buying the same brand week after week, you'd collect different pieces and eventually be able to have a full set.
And that's why there's an oatmeal can there as well.
Yeah, so I actually have an oatmeal can. It says Crystal Wedding Oats. And I also have the matching glass that came in that particular can of oatmeal. I actually have a collection of the candlelight etching by the Cambridge Glass Company. And that would have been produced probably about the mid-1930s to the late 1950s. And what Cambridge did and what many other glass companies did is they actually took crystalware and then applied etchings to it, which is a really interesting process. They would, in order to really get these intricate etch patterns, what they need to do is dip the piece in acid, and the acid would etch in an intricate design. So in the case of this candlelight pattern, it's a medallion that is surrounding a lit candle, but other etch patterns are could be florals or fruit or figures and that kind of stuff. So in order to create that etch pattern, they would actually dunk the glass into acid, and that acid would create the etching. But therefore, any place that wasn't supposed to be etched would need to be covered up with wax. So they'd actually have a whole process to cover the goblet in wax and make sure that only the etched parts got the design on them.
There's a utility to most of the glassware that we've been seeing, but there is one item that seems to, one of these things is not like the other.
The bird here. Yes. Yeah, so that's actually a figurine that was made by the Fenton Art Glass Company. So while primarily most of this glass is utilitarian and, you know, people collect everything from entire sets of dinnerware to just things like candlesticks or candy dishes that they might use at Christmas time, there are a couple of objects that are purely decorative. Actually, several glass companies, including Fenton, made decorative figurines in the form of animals. So this here is a little bird in kind of a satin custard color with a little bit of few blue jays painted on it. There's a variety of other companies that produced glass figurines that could be something small like this piece, which is maybe only about 6 inches, up to something larger like a rooster that might be 10 or 12 inches. And actually, the Heise Glass Company of Newark, Ohio, produced an extensive line of figurines like that and was actually used in filming the movie The Glass Menagerie.
What is the most valued piece that you have?
Well, I'd say from a sentimental standpoint, it's probably the collection of pink cherry blossom that I inherited from my grandmother. And that's actually what got me interested in Depression glass, was that my grandmother had this set of cherry blossom, which she actually didn't even get during the Depression. She bought in the 1970s, just when it was at the Goodwill and nobody knew what it was, was really that interested in it. And she liked pink, so she bought that set. And when I was a kid and growing up and, you know, spending time at my grandparents' house, she would always serve lunch on these pink glass dishes, which at the time I had no idea what they were. And we were packing my grandparents up and moving them out of Detroit about 16, 17 years ago. And my grandmother hadn't cooked in several years because of Alzheimer's and dementia. So all that glass had been packed away. And when we were moving them out, I saw all this and it brought back all those childhood memories. And I thought, oh, this is really interesting. So I started talking to my mother about it, and she said, oh, well, there's actually this glass collecting club in Livonia that meets monthly, and they also have an annual show every November. And she said, I haven't been to one of the shows in many, many years, but we should go sometime and check it out. And, you know, even though there's just one pattern here, there's hundreds and hundreds more. So that's actually how I found out about the Michigan Depression Glass Society, which I'm the current president of. And I went to my first glass show about 15 years ago and was instantly hooked, and I've been a member and active in the club ever since.
What will you be bringing this weekend of your collection? Or will you bring anything?
So we're having a big display. Each year the club kind of has a different theme. So in addition to the 25 dealers that are selling glass at our show, we also have a display area that the club puts on to really educate people about a particular type of glass, and also give them ideas on how to use and display it. And this year, we were kind of dividing the display into two sections to celebrate some milestone anniversaries. In 1915, the first piece of Pyrex glassware was produced, so 2015 marks their 100-year anniversary. And also in 1915, the Fosteria Glass Company produced their first full line of tableware called Fosteria's American Pattern. And even though they're no longer in business, that pattern started production 100 years ago, so we're kind of celebrating those two milestone anniversaries. So I'll be bringing some Pyrex for the display, as well as some Fosteria American pieces.
It is considered, amongst collectors, the most successful pattern in the history of glassmaking.
Fellow member of the Michigan Depression Glass Society, Jennifer Gannum.
Fosteria made American from 1915 through 1983, when Fosteria was sold to the Lancaster Colony Company. Lancaster continued making American into 1986. When they just stopped producing glass under the Fosteria name. Pyrex was the first product that came to the market that took a glass and tempered it in such a manner that it could go from the refrigerator to the oven to the table and back to the refrigerator, and gave the homemaker, the cook, a new easy way to heat food. I actually have a very exciting piece that I'm displaying at the show this weekend. It is a 10-sided pie plate in an original carrier. It's a rare piece. I did pick it up over the last few months. There is a version of it identical to it that is in the collection of the Corning Glass Museum. It's a very hard to find piece. So again, we're excited to be displaying items at our glass show this weekend that people might otherwise literally have to drive to a museum to see, because they are that unusual and hard to find.
It can be seen this weekend where?
This weekend at the Ford Performing and Community Arts Center in Dearborn. It's at the intersection of Michigan Avenue, which is US 12, in Greenfield Road. The show is open Saturday, November 7th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, November 8th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We encourage people to come early because the first 200 attendees each day are going to get a commemorative Pyrex authorized shopper pin, which we know is going to be very, very popular.
On both days?
200 people, the first 200 paid attendees each day.
You can find more information about this weekend's Glass show at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center in Dearborn, Michigan, over at michigandepressionglass.com, where you can also find out more about that society. Jonathan and Jennifer, thanks very much for this tour.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. This was really wonderful.
For Current State, I'm Jamie Pace.